Today is one of the most challenging gospel passages of the year, but it's also one of the most fundamentally Christian passages because it calls each of us to be more like Christ. Jesus is challenging us to be perfect, like our Heavenly Father is perfect. This is a tall order. He is asking Jews of his time to forego their right under Mosaic law to retaliation or revenge by turning the other cheek, offering up their coat when asked for their shirt, and walking the extra mile. We struggle on a daily basis to fulfill these demands among our own family and friends, much less our enemies. But that doesn't stop Jesus. He commands that in order to be children of his Heavenly Father, we must love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. This was as radical and countercultural to the Jews of the first century as it is to us today. So what did these three commands mean to the Jews of the first century? They were all highly offensive. In the first example, Jesus tells his audience that if they are slapped on the right cheek, they should offer up the other. According to Jewish custom, slapping someone on the face with the back of your hand was twice as insulting as slapping them with the palm of your hand. A right-handed person slapping someone else on the right cheek implies this backhanded blow, a huge personal affront in ancient times. In the second example, the common people of the first century had very few possessions of their own, except a shirt or two and a coat. It was legal under the law to sue someone for their shirt, but you could not sue them for your coat, because they used their coat to stay warm at night. Jesus is telling the Jews of his time that even if someone was trying to take half of everything they own, they should offer to give them the better half as well. In our third example, Jesus says, "Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for 2 miles." This is not about doing a neighbor a favor. By the rules of the Roman Empire, a Roman soldier could force a Jew to carry all of his equipment for 1 mile. Can you imagine being on your way to an important business meeting, to church, or a family gathering, and being forced to carry an invading soldier's heavy backpack and weapons for 1 mile without any warning? Now Jesus was asking them to go an extra mile voluntarily on that same hot, dusty road. Jesus is telling us today, no, actually, he's commanding us today, if we are to love as our Heavenly Father loves, we must rid ourselves of the eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth mentality that has been so deeply ingrained in our hearts and in our society since the time of Moses. You see, before the time of Moses, retaliation was the law of the land. People could enact sevenfold revenge on anyone who had offended them. If someone killed your goat, you could go kill their son. If you killed their son, they could murder your entire family. So Moses instituted the law of the eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, to get rid of these inappropriate retaliations that were taking place. This was a great improvement. Proportionate punishments were then given out. This is the basis of our current justice system today, and is also the basis for which we give our love to each other and to God. But unfortunately, this mentality also prevents us from loving as God loves us, or even understanding how God has unconditional love for us. How often in our own lives do we choose who to love and who not to love? We can even turn our love on and off within our own families, depending on whether that family member earns our merits, our love at that particular time. Think of how different our lives would be if we did not seek revenge or retaliation against those who have wronged us or did not agree with our point of view. Love is always willing the good of the other in every circumstance. We can spend way too much time calculating how and when we are going to give out our love for others and for our own benefit or for our own success. This is not God-like love. Jesus tells us that the pagans love those who love and benefit them. We are called to a much higher standard. One characteristic of God's love is that his love is given out to all mankind, regardless of whether or not we love him or hate him. God causes the sun to rise both on the good and the bad, and the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. As true disciples of Jesus, we are to give our love equally to both our enemies and our neighbors. When we act this way towards others, we become more like the children of our Heavenly Father, more like Christ himself, more perfect. In the final moments of his life, Jesus showed us that perfection. He taught us what he meant. He lived it. Surrounded by his enemies and his persecutors, our Lord hung on the cross, stripped naked, bleeding and gasping for breath. Meanwhile, they gambled for his clothes and waited for him to die. And at this moment, Jesus pleaded and prayed with his Father. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Here is Christian perfection, our model for loving, captured at the moment of Christ's death. Here is love beyond measure, a prayer for a broken and undeserving love. As we approach the season of Lent, which begins this Wednesday, we can all realize that Jesus' demands are just too much for us to do on our own. We can never live this kind of radical, Christ-like love if we try to do it on our own. The good news of the gospel is that we are not alone. We are never alone. We never have been, and we never will be. Jesus is with us. Mary is with us. The angels and saints are not only with us here at Mass, but with us at all times. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us because we have been baptized into Christ's church, his family. God the Father's love is unconditional. He can't possibly love us more than he already does. We do not have to earn his love. We just need to accept it. This same unlimited, transforming love is also present in the Eucharist we celebrate tonight. Jesus knows us, and he knows we need help in following his commands. He has sent us the most holy Eucharist to act as our spiritual food for our souls, to help strengthen us so that we can follow this path of selfless love. Let us pray that all of us might focus this upcoming Lent on becoming more like Christ by preparing our hearts and minds to receiving the grace that will make God-like love possible in our daily lives. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.